Okay, good morning. I'd like to welcome you all. All right. Okay, glad you're with us this morning. If you're here the first time, we especially welcome you. I know some August, some are coming, going, vacations, all that stuff. Anyway, you're here this morning. That's good. Very good. And I'm here. My name's Nigel. Welcome. How do you do? All right. So we've been covering this series, A Great Cloud of Witnesses, and we're covering Genesis. We covered Adam, Noah, Abram, Isaac, Jacob. We'll go on to Joseph. We're in Genesis. You know, some of the things in the Bible we learn by teaching, as a matter of teaching, that's, say, in the New Testament, certain sections. Genesis is more a narrative. It tells you people's life, people's experience, and we can learn in a different way from that. So that's what we're doing. We went through Abraham. He had certain experiences. Isaac. Now we're at Jacob. Jacob went through certain things. And we can relate that to things we go through or are going through in our life. So that's the way we're taking this. You have to be a little bit careful sometimes how you apply it. The application is not direct. Last week, Del shared about Esau and Jacob. So Jacob sold his birthright. Then you may think, I sold it. I sold my birthright. It's all over. Well, that's not the application. So relax. We'll get to that. I don't believe that's the way to apply that to you and me in our life today. We're New Testament believers. But there are things we can learn, can experience. Okay, so let me review a little bit and bring us up to speed. I like the story of Esau and Jacob. It goes like this. Genesis 25, 6, 7 goes like this. Isaac married Rebekah. They struggle for a while. Eventually, she's pregnant. This is about 2000 BC. She's pregnant, and so there's a lot of activity inside her womb. And she's wondering what's going on. You know, there's no ultrasound, no x-ray, stuff like that. She inquires of the Lord. That's your option. Don't go for an ultrasound. There wasn't one. You got to ask. Ask the Lord. She inquired of the Lord. The Lord's answer is, okay, Rebekah, what's going on in you? You got two. It's twins. Good news. Twins. Wow. I hope that's good news. Good news. You got twins. Bad news. The two people. You got twins. There you go. You got twins and they're struggling. Okay, so you're going to give birth to twins, not just twins. These two twins actually will become two peoples, two nations, right? From each child, there'll be a nation, and those two nations, and will not get along that well. That's why they already started struggling pre-birth. This is prenatal struggle. So guess what's going to happen after? It's already started. So, okay, two peoples, two nations, and one will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger. Okay, elder will serve the younger. First will serve the second. That's the opposite of their culture. Okay, so she gives birth, and guess what? Twins, and it's twin boys. And the two boys are so different that for sure they're not identical. No way, Jose. They're not identical. They're actually the opposite. They are so opposite. Probably if you saw them, you wonder if they have the same parents. They do. One, the first came out. He's hairy. I don't know. Maybe you thought, this is an orangutan. Right? It wasn't. It was red. That's Malaysia, right? They say orangutan. Right? We say orangutan. Over there, they say orangutan. The man of the jungle, right? Because it's an ape and it's all red, hairy. Anyway, sorry, distraction. Okay. Anyway, first child was born. He's hairy and the hair's red. They called him Esau, nickname Edom, which means red. Okay. Second one comes out, very different. He's smooth. not hairy smooth. Maybe he doesn't have a, you know, he's maybe bald when he's born. Okay, so two sons. Okay, so different. You know, I relate to this story. I'm a twin. I can relate to this. And guess what? I'm number two. That's better, right? In this story, that's better. My mom had twins. I don't know. She never told me. You two were fighting already. I don't think we were good. That's my story. We were born. He's born first. 30 minutes later, I'm born. So I'm number two. And, you know, I was put in incubator because I was smaller. He was not. This is my story. You know, he was not put in an incubator because he was bigger. That's my brother Howard. I was smaller, number two. I was put in an incubator. He always told me when I was a little kid, he said, "You were hatched. You were hatched." I said, "I was not hatched. You were hatched. I was not." You know how kids do. Anyway, that was okay. So I was hatched. Okay. So I was number two. And this story, number two is Jacob, right? Number one's Esau. Number two, they're born. Number one, Esau's hairy. Number two, Jacob, there's not 30 minutes separation. Esau comes out right, you know, 1 second later, 0 seconds later. Jacob comes out. He's holding the heel. He's hanging on to Esau by the heel, like, "Come back. You come back in, I'm going out number one." Anyway, Esau got out first. So, and the right, no way to get him back in. So they called him Jacob, which means heel holder, which in their society has the connotation of like deceiver, tricker, you know. So one is called Esau, Edom, red. The other's called Jacob, which doesn't have that good a meaning. It means like deceiver, tricker, trickster, cheater. So don't worry. You know, don't worry. If you're called Jacob, don't worry. Everybody forgets the origin. Okay, so don't worry about it. That's all. Anyway, okay. Two sons. Okay, they grow up. They look different. They're born different. And when they grow up, they become more different to each other. Esau, number one, is he likes the outdoors. Jacob likes the indoors, right? So Jacob's outside. He likes outdoor activity. He likes hunting, fishing, right? Those kind of things, outdoors. He likes to hunt. He's a man of the outdoors. You know, he's a man's man, hairy. You know, I think he has a, right? I think he probably had a better beard than that, bigger one. He's outdoors. Jacob is smooth. He's indoors. Esau is daddy's favorite. Daddy likes dad likes the outdoors, and he likes, you know, he likes the wild turkey, wild pig, wild rabbit, wild whatever that Esau hunts. Jacob's indoors. He's with his mom. He's learning to sew. He learned to sew, to knit, and to cook, to make cookies. Soup. Back to the real story. He learns to make soup. His mom teaches him how to make lentil soup. Okay, so they grow up. They're different. Okay, then. Okay, there you go. He learned well. Looks nice. Okay. All right, so there's this incident that happens. Now, they're growing up. It doesn't tell you a lot of things that happen. It tells you this one incident. So, okay, that one incident is a window, right? I believe, why does it record this one thing? This one thing is a window into what are these two boys like? So it's a window of, you know, it's not just that incident is crucial. It's a window of their priorities, choices, their way of life, and how they're going to live their life, that how they choose. Okay, the one incident it tells you, and Dell went through it, is, okay, it says one day Esau went out hunting. That day was exceptional. No, he didn't shoot. He didn't hunt anything. Came up empty. Came home. He's been hunting for hours, fishing. Didn't catch any fish. Didn't hunt anything, catch anything. He comes home. He's empty. He's tired. He's hungry. He comes to the tent. Whoa, Jacob has just cooked, guess what? He's cooked this delicious stew. And okay, so Esau comes in. Hey, man, give me some of that stew. Hey, bro, give me that stew. I don't know how he said it. Jacob says, hey, you know, wait a minute. Let's make a deal. My stew's pretty good here. I spent a lot of time. I learned my stew is the top stew. I'm thinking of opening a chain of restaurants. Oh. Okay. He says, okay, let's make a deal. You're number one. Your position is number one. Your priority in this family, you have the right of leadership. You know, you're going to lead this family down the road. You're going to be the head of this family, next generation. Okay, let's make a deal. My stew for your status. My stew for your number one. Deal? Esau thinks about it, says, you know, I'm really starving. I'm really hungry. If I don't eat, I'm going to die. That's what people, you know, if I don't eat anything, I'm going to die right here. If I die right here, it's all over anyway. So, okay, deal. Give me the stew. It's gone. Right? And Jacob becomes number one, okay? I'm number one in position. You're number two. I'm going to be the head, right? He has the so-called birthright. Okay, this incident is a picture on the two people. Number one, Esau does not, you know, Esau's priorities are elsewhere. I want to hunt fish, you know, do those kind of things. I don't value that much my position, the leadership in this family, the future, setting direction for this family. What I'm into, me, my what I like, what I'm interested in. And my, you know, I want to be full. Jacob is willing to accept, you know, he values that position. He values the leadership in this family and the future of this family. That's, you know, and that means responsibility. That means responsibility. Jacob is willing to take responsibility. Esau is avoiding responsibility, you know, dismissing the responsibility, avoiding it. Okay. You know, that's a principle that we can apply. That, you know, and the Bible says in this way, Esau despised his birthright. He didn't rise up. He didn't value that responsibility. He's not willing to take it. He wants to avoid it. He wants to offload responsibility instead of taking it. Jacob's willing to take responsibility. That's the principle. You know, in our family, presently, in marriage, in the family, right? There is a matter of responsibility. Are we willing to take responsibility? And we can apply that spiritually to a, you know, in this, you know, this is related to people's relationship with God. That's why it's here. Eventually, that attitude affects, our attitude toward responsibility affects our relationship with God. Are we willing to rise up, take responsibility in the things of God? Okay, and the lesson here, I believe, is yes, we should. You know, God is looking for people who are willing to take responsibility. And that may start out with small things, but are you and I willing to take responsibility? You know, in my family, I'm the head. That's no big deal. There's me, my wife. Well, there's one son who's home. There's the dog. There's only four. You know, in a few years, my son may have his own family. Then there'll be me, my wife, my dog. At least the dog knows. I'm head of the dog. Sit. That's good. You know, but, you know, there's also this matter. Are we willing to take responsibility? Let me ask you, especially if you've got a family, in your family, men, brothers, are you willing to take responsibility? Are you going to be a Jacob take responsibility. Are you going to be an Esau? Avoid responsibility. Offload responsibility. My advice is be a Jacob, accept responsibility, take responsibility, right? That's good for you, good for God, good for your family. Amen? Right? This comes down to small things. Let me ask you, when you go home today, maybe lunchtime, later today, tomorrow night, when your family eats, who's going to pray? Who's going to pray? There's you, your wife, your kids. Who's going to pray? You say, everyone. My question is, who's going to pray first? Who should take the lead to pray? Answer, you. Men, husband, father, grandfather, you take responsibility in your family, in your household to pray. Amen? Amen. Right? That's a small thing. That's a small thing, but it says what? I'm willing to take responsibility. You know, North America encourages men to avoid responsibility. I think we had a picture of a couch potato there. You know, you're North American, you adopt American, North American lifestyle as a guy, you know, they encourage you. You know, sit there, have the remote, click, click. Where's my food? Click, click. You know, no, don't be like that. You know, that you avoid responsibility. You know, I'm here passively. I'm here. No, in your family, in your home, rise up. Rise up. Take responsibility, right? Do what you should do before God. In your family, brothers, men, husbands, you pray first. Can you do it? Amen. Can you do it?
Amen.
Oh, try again. Can you do it?
Amen.
Amen. Can you do it? Yes. Yes. You know, this happens to me. Happens to me. You know, my wife's family came. Family reunion. 30 people. My wife's father, you know, she has 6 siblings with their spouse, some of their spouses, their kids, their, you know, etc. 30 people came to, right? Came to my house, my daughter's house. We had a family reunion. We had, in the afternoon, we had a barbecue. 30 people. Okay, outdoors. We're eating out there. Okay, we're going to eat. Hamburgers, steak, whatever, sausage, great. Okay, let me ask you. Who should pray? Maybe say nobody. You know, it's possible. You have a barbecue, everybody eats, you know, okay. Listen, most of the people there are Christians. Most of the people there are believers. Who should pray? Yes, thank you. Who should pray? Answer, Nigel. Nigel should pray. Why? It's Nigel's home, Nigel's barbecue, Nigel's house, right? It was at my place, my home. You're my guest. You're in my backyard having my barbecue. Who should pray? This man standing here, right? So, 30 people. I got up. I stood on a chair. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. Right? Because what? That's, you know, they're not going to object. Sit down. Get down. Right? No. They're willing to pray, but somebody has to take the lead. Somebody has to take the lead. Somebody has to take responsibility. Who's that? In that situation, it's me. Amen? Okay. Can we do this? Brothers and sisters, especially brothers. Brothers. Take the lead in your home. Take the lead in your family. Pick up the responsibility, the spiritual responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That's be a Jacob in this story. That's your birthright, right? That's your responsibility. Accept the responsibility. Do what you should do when you should do it. You know, when you're old, you know, when I'm in a wheelchair, somebody else is going to do it. Nathan? Where's Jesse? I saw him. You know, when I'm in a wheelchair, when I got a walker, when I got a cane, somebody else is going to do it. Then, okay, then I'll sit there. Praise the Lord. All right. It's good. Sorry. I like it. You know, You know, that's the application. Okay, brothers and sisters, this week, can you take responsibility to do what you should do before the Lord in your home, in your family, with others? You know, even you go out, go to the restaurant. That's, you know, okay, that's the test. Go to restaurants, that's the test. Okay, you pray at home. Let me ask you, when you go out to a restaurant, are you going to pray? Or are you going to... Let's all pray silently. That's one way. Another way is no. This is my family. We're together in a restaurant. We still pray. We still pray. You send a message. If you don't pray at the restaurant, you send a message to your kids. Oh, we do this privately. You know, religion's a private thing. We do this in the home. We don't do this in the public. No. No. Brothers, let's do this at the rest. You know, after this meeting, some of you will go to IKEA. Some of you go to Swiss Chalet. Some of you go to China, you know, whatever. Mandarin, yeah. Okay, I challenge you, pray audibly, right? You know, you go out for dim sum, right? Don't you? Some of you go out for dim sum. Yeah, it's so noisy, clank, 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 you know. Pray at dim sum. Ganchetsu, su yesu wa ai ni. You pray. Sorry, that's the totality of my Chinese. Right? Dim sum, you still pray. That's you take responsibility. God will honor that. Your family will honor that. Your family will be blessed. Amen. All right. Okay. Jacob is willing to take responsibility. That's why he values the birthright. Birthright equals responsibility. Responsibility in this family, in this home. That's what he's for. Amen. We can do that. Okay, then, yeah, the next thing was the blessing later, right? Isaac wants to bless his son. Esau is his favorite. He wants to bless him, even though God said the older will serve the younger. That's Jacob, right? Jacob is the younger, right? He's, right? So we know that Rebecca worked, there's a team here, Rebecca plus Jacob, work things out so that Jacob got the blessing, okay? And in a sense, cheated Esau. We won't get into that, right? That happened, right? Jacob pretended to be Esau. It worked. He got the blessing. His father's blind, so he got the blessing. But the result is Esau hated Jacob. Esau felt, you cheated me. Jacob, you cheat. You cheated me twice. You cheated me with the birthright, and you cheated me with the blessing. Actually, Esau, no. The birthright was you. You weren't cheated. You weren't cheated. You gave it up. Yes, the second time you got cheated. First time you gave it up. You're not quite right. Esau, you're not the victim. Take responsibility. You offloaded it. So anyway, sorry, Esau's not here. All right. So, when I see him, I'll tell him. All right. So Esau hates Jacob. He wants to get him back. He plans to kill him. The mother hears about it, sends Jacob away. That's where we are in the story. We're good. Okay, right on time. Okay, now let's go to the verses. Out of all this, Jacob has an encounter with God. And this is his first encounter. He's not that young anymore. There's quite more time probably than you think has passed. But Jacob has to leave home and he's sent to his uncle's home far away. On the journey, he has an encounter with God. That's his first encounter. That encounter is crucial in later life. So, you know, and the lesson from this is, I hope, we all need an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God that if we respond rightly, will be memorial in our life. That's what happened to Jacob. Here's the account. The verses go like this. Let me read them for you. This is chapter 28, verse 10, Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun was set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. He's sleeping outdoors. He doesn't have a feather pillow. He has a stone. His pillow is a stone. Right? That's tough. So Jacob dreamed. And behold, this is the dream. There was a ladder or stairway set up on earth. The top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, on this stairway, this ladder. Behold, the Lord stood above it or stood beside him. Could also be. The Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I'll give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread to the west, east, north, and south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That is repeating the blessing to Abraham, now is given to Jacob. More than that, God says, behold, I am with you, and I'll keep you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you till I've done what I promised. That's the end. All this is within the dream. Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord, a God, is in this place, and I didn't know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? He didn't say, this is awesome. He said, that means, in the real sense, how terrible is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Maybe he went back to sleep, maybe not. Early in the morning when it's light, Jacob took the stone that he put under his head, set it up for a pillar, set it up vertically, poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of the place Bethel, but the name was Luz. Then Jacob vowed a vow. This is Jacob's prayer, a vow to God. If God will be with me and keep me in the way I go and give me bread to eat, clothing to wear, so that I come to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone, which I've set up for a pillar, will be God's house. That's the meaning of Bethel. And all that you, God, give me, I will give a full tenth to you. Right? And that's the end of Jacob's vow, and he continues his journey. This is a significant event in Jacob's life. You know, this event, Jacob remembered his life long. 20 years later, he's going to in his uncle's house. He stays away. 20 years later, he still remembers this incident that happened to him. God, you're the God that I encountered at Bethel. He remembered this 20 years later, right? He talks about it. You're the God who answered me in my distress when I was in my way. 70 years later, at the end of Jacob's life, 70 years later, he's going to live another 70 years. The end of his life, right at the end, he still remembers this incident, this encounter with God. He said, tells his son, Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz, that's Bethel, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me and said, he remembered this incident, you know. So this is crucial. You know, this is something for our Christian life. Being a Christian, being a believer, it's not just, you know, a set of beliefs, a set of theology. Being a Christian, being a believer, is a matter of we encounter God. We interact with God, and that changes our life. There's events in our life where we can say, I met God. God spoke to me. You know, God showed me something, and that's significant in my life, and that changed the direction ultimately of my life. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what this means to Jacob. See, one day, that night was pivotal. 20 years later, he still remembers it. End of his life, he still remembers it. Brothers and sisters, friends, if you had a real encounter with God, or encounters with God, there'll be something you remember. You know, God, I had some feeling about God, some feeling from God, some words from God. That changed my life, right? That's what makes you a Christian. And yes, you may go away, you know, think back over your life, right? you should be, you know, there should be cases in your life. You think about, you know, when I think about my life, I would say, you know, when I was 10, 11, you know, I had an interaction with God. That was important. When I was 16, there's a period of time, something happened. That was important. You know, when I was age 23, I left England, came to North America. You know, Jacob left home. Jacob left home where everything's familiar. He's figured, you know, he knows how to live. He's a refugee. He's a foreigner. He's in a new place, new environment. That is a good opportunity to experience God. And that's what happened. Leaving home, if he stayed home, he may never have had that experience. He left home, new environment, new situation. That's a good environment to experience God. Right? That's good. Many of us left your home country. Me too. You left your familiar, your comfort zone, your familiarity. You came to Toronto, to Canada, North America. That's a good environment to you to begin to experience God. Amen? Amen. You just tell God, God, I'm here. It's a new country, new place. Good opportunity for you to reveal yourself to me, to interact with you. Tell God. God, here's a good chance for you, opportunity for you to reveal yourself to me. Right? I did that. I left England. You know, I left England. That was my first. This is 1971, before many of you were born. I left England. That was my first time to leave my home country. First time outside of England. First time to fly in a plane. Woohoo! It was not a 777. It was a 707. That's prehistoric. Almost back to the Wright brothers. Right? 707. I flew from England to New York to Chicago. That's my first time. First time in a new country. I'm a foreigner. I'm a stranger. I don't know. You know, I have a funny accent. They use different money. Things look different. They drive on the wrong side of the street. You know, everything was wrong and different. Okay, that was a good opportunity for me to experience God. Right? Okay. You too. If that's your situation, tell God. God, I want to experience you. This is a good opportunity. Amen. Right? This was Jacob. He left home. He's traveling across the country. There's no hotel, no motel, no Motel 6, no Holiday Inn, no whatever. Right? No Fairmont. Everybody likes to say Fairmont Royal York, Fairmont whatever. There's no 5-star hotel. There's no 4-seasons hotel. There's zero. He's in the wild country. Think about it. That's scary. You know, sorry, short aside. We had a brother here for a long time, Bruce Pike. You remember? He served in Scotland. Bruce told me this. Bruce Pike, this young guy, he went backpacking. He went to Israel backpacking. He was in the desert going from the south. He and a friend, two guys, they're passing through the southern part of Israel. They're in the desert. He said, we're in the desert. It came night. I had my sleeping bag. He had his. We walked off the road. We rolled out our sleeping bags, and we slept under the stars. Sound good? You like to do that? Lauren, sounds good? Sounds good? You want to try that? Sleep in the desert, under the stars. Doesn't sound great? He said, we woke up in the morning, we looked around. Around us, there are circles. You know, he looked over that patch of land. There are circles spread out. In the middle of every circle, there's a snake. That's the territory of the snake. He said, fortunately, our sleeping bag's between the circles, not in a circle. He said, we jumped up and we got out of there. You know, so that's my point. You know, sleeping in the outdoors back then was not, you know, it was not a piece of cake. It was, no, you know, it's dangerous stuff, unknown stuff. Okay, this is Jacob. Jacob slept outdoors. He has this dream. He sees in his dream, he sees a ladder in the dream, or a ladder or staircase. the staircase is going up to heaven, to earth. There's angels going up and down on that ladder. He's sleeping, right? This is in his dream. God is there. Now, some versions tell you, it's not clear from the Hebrew, is God at the top or the bottom? Some versions will tell you, God was there with him. God told you, I am the God of Abraham. I am the Lord. I'm God. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. That's me. Jacob. And he repeats the promises, right? God spoke to Jacob. God wants to begin a relationship with Jacob. Jacob, I'm God. I'm the Lord. I'm the God of Abraham. That's your grandfather. I'm the God of Isaac. That's your father. Question is, Jacob, am I going to be your God? Am I going to be your God? Right? God of Abraham, of course, in the New Testament, he's called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So it's yes, eventually God is the God of Jacob. God wants to be his God. And God today wants to be your God. Amen? And my God. Right? You know, then some of us, you have to ask yourself, you know, God wants to be your God. Maybe God is the God of your father, your mother. Some of us, you grew up in a Christian home. Your parents, your mother or your father or both, they knew God. They knew Jesus Christ. They're Christian. He's the God of your father. He's the God of your mother. The question is he your God? For some of you, some of us, right? You can say, God is my, he's my grandfather's God. He's my grandmother's God. And he's my father, mother's God. Still, the question is he your God? Amen? You know, God introduces himself. Yes, I'm your grandfather's God. I'm your father's God. Jacob, am I your God? Am I going to be your God? Are you going to enter a relationship with me? Okay. And that's the question today. Especially for, you know, if you're younger, you got to answer the question. You know, it's not enough to say, you know, my grandfather was what? My grandfather was a pastor, was a priest, was a minister. My father was this. My mother was that. No, God needs to be your God. Your father knows him. Your mother knows him. Do you know him? Is he going to be your God? Amen. Right? We need the continuity. He wants to be your God. Not just your father's God, your mother. You may say, oh, that's okay for my dad and my mom. No, God wants to be your God, your personal God. You have to have a relationship with him, right? Maybe it happens when you leave home. Okay, maybe before. That's a good chance. Amen? You know, for, then Jesus, actually, when Jesus was here on earth, he talked about this ladder. He told Nathanael, you, Nathanael, will see heaven open, the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That means for us, Jesus is this ladder. He's the connection between God and man. You don't have to go to heaven. God has come to earth in Jesus Christ to bring God to you, to me, that we can have this relationship with him. Amen. Amen. May God be your God today. Be your God this week. May you experience him. May you rise up, take, you know, respond to him. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you. You're the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. They all experience you. Lord, we pray for everybody here. We pray this week. Lord, these people had many experiences with you. We pray this coming week, we each of us would have further experiences with you. Oh, speak to us, appear to us in different ways. Lord, you know our situation. We pray, grant us grace to respond to you, open to you. May these, what happens this week be important in our interaction with you. We pray your blessing on everybody here. Bless us, bless our families, bless those we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're finished. We're right on time. Ian has an announcement. He knew I'd forget, so he came up. That was smart.